get rolling with our Thursday guest, our weekly view from the North. Well, definitely not you. You can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet Online, CSNNW.com, talking ball, soon talking ducks on Comcast Channel 737 on your Xfinity system. Hit him up on Twitter. The handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you?
Ooh, that's right. Talking ducks is like a month out.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
I'm about to invade TV. I'll be on TV like four times a week.
Really?
That's just scary. Talking ducks, you got Go Ducks football on Friday nights. You got pregame duck show on Saturdays and a postgame duck show.
So should I consider?
That's a lot of Aaron Fentress.
I was just going to say, should our audience consider that a heads up or a warning?
Both.
Man. All right. You know, I know historically you've not been someone who follows the PGA, but since you've been on this mission and been playing and improving your game, so now when you're like 235 from the flag, hoping to hit it in the air and forward, and realize the pros hit a cut 5-iron from there, any more of an appreciation for what they do?
You know, it's hilarious you bring that up because actually started DVRing this show called Golf Fix on Golf Channel, which is an NBC property, by the way.
All right.
And I find myself sometimes going to it and like that channel and like just watching golf. And my wife is totally making fun of me. She's like, "You're hooked." I'm like, "No, I'm on a mission. I'm not hooked. I hate golf. It sucks." But because it's so complicated. There's so many different types of swings and things you can do. And some guy the other day was giving tips on how to hit low shots to keep things low, like if you're under some or behind some trees.
Sure.
You can get it out the fairway, but there's branches hanging over you. And just that day, literally, I hit a beautiful shot, but it was just a little too high and hit a branch. It would have been money. And then I turn on the TV and boom, there's a guy giving tips on how to do it better. And I'm like, "Oh, you're sweet." And I got up and I'm practicing. And my wife's just laughing at me. So, yeah, I have found myself gravitating more towards the Golf Channel.
Well, talk about preaching to the choir. I took up the game in 1973. So let's get to some hoops. So the word this week, Carmelo Anthony wants a trade. He'd prefer Houston, and apparently Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum have reached out. And then I'm reading from Blazer fans, "No, I don't want Melo." You know, like that Dwight Howard conversation a year ago.
Right.
What's your response to these people?
I don't understand what they're thinking is going to happen. I've had some people tweet at me. If I ask people, you know, would you take this or not? And some people say, "No, rebuild through the draft." You're not going to they're past rebuild. They're built. So now you're trying to upgrade, and there's no way you're going to rebuild through the draft, drafting, you know, 16, 17, 18, which is where they're going to be forever with Lillard and CJ. So your best bet is to do what they're trying to do, and that's load up on depth. I mean, they're loaded with like 10, 11 guys that have value, and then try and unload three of them to upgrade at the top of the roster, and then you still have depth. And, you know, I've been saying for 2 years that I think the plan is, and I think they've kind of made this clear a little bit too, is that they're waiting for something to pop loose. And what you're waiting for is that disgruntled player who wants out and that team that wants to get rid of that disgruntled player. And this is that guy. This is that moment. And the problem is he has fantasies about playing with his boys in Houston or his other boy in Cleveland. But to me, if those things fall through and can't happen, I think he would be crazy to stay in New York and not come to Portland because he's already 32. If he's going to have a chance to win it all and ever see the playoffs again, he's going to have to get out of New York. And I think if he came to Portland, I think he would be more motivated. I think we'd see a much better Carmelo Anthony. And I think if he's on a team where he's got two guys like Lillard and CJ, and then if Nurkic turns out to be legit, they're going to draw so much attention that Carmelo is going to find himself in a lot of one-on-one situations. And the only guy in the NBA, a small forward, who can deal with him one-on-one, and, well, probably two guys, probably Kawhi and LeBron, and anyone else he's going to abuse. So I think that they can get him. I think it makes Portland a top-five team in the NBA.
Yeah, and that leads into our next question about how fans sometimes make me scratch my head.
Also, they don't like him because of the perception, but Carmelo's been to the West Finals in 2009 with Denver, and he hasn't done anything wrong, really, in New York. I mean, the teams have been bad. And so
right.
If you're a star trapped on a bad team, what are you supposed to do? LeBron was a star trapped on a good team. He left. It's like most stars trapped on bad teams are going to sulk a little bit. They might have some bad attitudes. But I think you put him on a good team, I think you'll see him blossom and return to what he was in Denver.
No, the bottom line is, as somebody who follows the Knicks closely, among Knicks fans, his reputation has actually grown and stabilized, because as they've gotten worse, he does play his ass off. I mean, he's never going to be a great defender, but he plays a lot of minutes, he produces, and it's like he's got this reputation that was kind of fabricated. Does that make sense?
No, it's totally been blown out of proportion. You know, and my knock on him was I thought he should have gone to Chicago. One, I'm a Bulls fan. But I thought that was a great opportunity for him to win, and I was disappointed that he took the money. At the same time, it was a $50 million difference. And it doesn't really come down too hard on someone for taking the $50 million, right? At some point, you know, it's like, that's $50 million. So I was disappointed because I'm a Bulls fan, but I think realistically, if you look at it from his point of view, family's in New York, kids are in New York, $15 million is in New York. You can't really blame the guy.
Nah, I'm with you there. Before we move to football, a Cubby update. They came out of the All-Star break. They caught a break. One of the worst staffs in literally history swept the Orioles. But then the Braves were playing pretty well, swept them. I mean, six games, all on the road, 16 homers, good starting. I know I've asked you this. It's kind of an evolving question, but now how you feeling about your champs?
I like it. I mean, I'm glad they swept. I would have been happy with even just two series wins, but those are the types of teams that they're going to have to sweep if they're going to get back to where they need to be. I think they're only 1.5 back now, right? Didn't they kind of reel in a little bit?
Milwaukee lost again today to the Pirates. It's one.
It's one now. Okay, so now they got a series coming up with St. Louis and then the Brewers. So, yeah, the Cubs, they look good. I'm not going to count anything yet. What I like most, though, is that Wilson Contreras is mashing. And that guy comes into his own with his bat, and we've already seen great things from the other young guys in terms of turn things around the second half. But if Contreras becomes that third consistent masher with Rizzo and Bryant, then the offense is going to be back to what it was last year with Quintana. Quintana looks great, but again, it was Baltimore. But no, I like the direction. I've never really doubted they're going to win the division. It's just a matter of, are they going to win the division and be strong enough to contend with what we're seeing from L.A. and even Washington? That's scary.
All right. Talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net, on to Oregon football. So a week ago, be it on social media, letters to the editor, we got calls about Darren Carrington. Every single solitary person knew exactly what Willie Taggart should do. I always favor right over fast. As you wrote, Tags once dared his guys with try me. So you like the way this was handled?
You know, I do. I think it was the right choice for the bigger picture. I do think it's going to hurt them this season because depth at the receiver position is thin in terms of proven bodies. The only proven receiver on the roster is Charles Nelson right now. So you're going to rely on a lot of young guys to come through at one time, which we saw play out in 2014, and it worked out very well when all those guys blew up at once. So it could, you know, it could happen again. But even still, if a few guys do blow up, if you had Darren on top of that, then you're stacked. So I do think it might cost them a game. Like for me, I think they were 8.5 at one point. I think they're over under 8 right now.
Yep.
If I were betting with Darren, I would probably take the over 8 because I can push at 8. But right now, I think I would take the under without Darren because we just don't know what we're going to get from Dylan Mitchell. Now, 2 weeks into the season, we could be like, Darren who? Dylan Mitchell's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, we just don't know. If that happens, then yeah, you can see them maybe, you know, win in 9. So, I think it's the right decision. He sent a message to the entire program that he was serious. And he could have easily just said, man, it's my first year. Darren's going to help me win some games. I'll give him like a 2-game suspension. We'll go from there. He could have easily done that, but he didn't. He stuck to what he said when he gave the team a warning, and Darren had by far the longest rap sheet. And from what I've heard from sources, you know, a lot of guys on the team, happy to see him go. Liked him as a person, didn't hate him, but he just wasn't a good team guy. Like, he just cut corners and he missed things and skipped things and, you know, just wasn't the kind of guy who at the end of the day is going to have a positive influence on the team beyond, of course, making plays. So I think this was a huge addition by subtraction, but I do think you're going to miss that talent at some point during the season. I mean, let's put it this way. Who on the roster right now would make the play he made against Utah? There's no one we know who's going to make that play, right?
Well,
like, there's no one we know.
No, but, there's nobody you would put and say he's going to be get drafted by the NFL.
Right. So, but 3 weeks into the season, we could be literally like Jacob Breland and Dylan Mitchell are amazing. Breland's a tight end, obviously, but he's kind of a hybrid guy. He's kind of a smaller tight end.
Right.
So we just it's a big, giant mystery. With De'Aaron, at least you had a proven commodity. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting.
All right, let's wrap with this. It's become a habit of mine as I follow your Twitter feed. some people, you allow them to engage, and then they don't realize they're supposed to be taking part in a grown-up conversation. So who would you tag as your Twitter nut bar of the week?
Well, of course, the big news in the sports world today, OJ got paroled.
Right.
And that, of course, is a very polarizing issue. And my feeling on the issue is, I think most people believe he got away with murder. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, the justice system, the police and the prosecution blew that case for a myriad of reasons that could take an entire show to go over. I'm fundamentally, I don't feel sorry for him for going to jail for 9 years for what he did, but I'm fundamentally against retribution sentences, you know, like punishing someone for something they got away with before. So I thought the sentence was harsh. So I got into some discussions about, you know, did he deserve to get out or not? And, of course, like, two people then come at me with, oh, so I suppose you're okay with murder and spousal abuse. Yeah, right. That's what I said. Yeah. And don't even send me a picture of Nicole, you know, all bruised up from being battered. I'm just like, and that person I didn't respond to. I just said, I can't take you seriously. Like,
No.
Not what I'm talking about. We're talking about fair sentencing and the law and how it works. And you're not supposed to have one jurisdiction hand down a severe sentence to make up for the failings of another jurisdiction. That's not how this is supposed to work. But yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff. And it's just, I don't know. I think we fail in our school systems to teach critical thinking. Because one of those things has nothing to do with the other.
No.
That's my nut of the week.
The willingness to connect dots in favor of a stupid argument never ceases to amaze me.
Oh, it's incredible where people will go, and it's kind of scary. Because right. I've had people make stretch connections and then, like, tweet at CSNNW. Not like I'm worried I'm ever going to get in trouble for something completely stupid, but it's like they're trying to get you in trouble for something they're completely making up. It's a weird world out there in internet land.
Yeah, we need more locks on Mommy's basement than we thought previously.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, enjoy your weekend, and if you get out there and start playing, keep it in the fairway and away from the trees, and we'll catch up with you next week.
I'll try. Take care, man.
Take it easy.